sees a brand new morning since the morning you moved in.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Good morning, friend.
Yes, I'm feeling like a million since I got you living in.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth Adbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kiver.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ennis standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps.
The Nocturne we send as...
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dale here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Sorry, we were just saying.
That's a good one.
We're going to have to retell that.
That's a good one.
Gosh, Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston. Dan Stern is Director of Horticulture at the Botanical Gardens. And Amanda Wilkins Bratcher is here from the Cooperative Extension Service in Lee County. Please tell your story. We were in the middle of it or right at the end. And go ahead.
I can't believe I'm sure I've told this story before and probably on air before. But
that's all right.
No one in my family would be surprised. But yeah, when I was growing up, my mom worked at this nursing facility down in New Bern. And there's a resident that lived there, Miss Charity Sims. And she lived to be 113 years old. I think the paper came out and interviewed her on her 110th. And asked her, you know, what she attributed her long life to. And she was very quick to say pot liquor, a pound of bacon a day, and no men.
I can hear the worst. Thunder right now.
Oh, Lord of mercy.
Women all over the place saying, yeah. Well, that's great. What a nice long life. Did she make it past 113? Or
I think that was the end.
That
of the
was
road.
About it. 113. That's not a good age to end on.
That's a heck of an age. Any,
yeah,
think any
114 would have been better, I think. Or,
oh Lord,
I don't know.
We have I'd have to brag on my extension master gardener volunteers in Lee County. It's a small but mighty group of folks, but. Lee County is home to some incredible octogenarians and folks older than 80s, and I mean, and they're not just they're still so sharp and so keen and just a font of knowledge. But our
Rufus.
Well, come on here now. Right. Yay, keep going. You're talking now.
I'll be there in 8 years.
But my my oldest Extension Master Gardener volunteer, his name is Averin Upchurch, and he turned 95 in August. And and he got the Order of the Longleaf Award.
Great.
For his service. Not only was he, you know, he's been an Extension Master Gardener volunteer since 1996 when it was brought to the county. He served as one of the founding members for Central Carolina Community College and was one of the deans for there for almost 50 years and taught agriculture in Lee County schools. So just an incredible person, but you know, sometimes when you get those real old folks who just have still have a keen mind, they are
sharp as a tack.
They are the source of our memories from the past. I think it's really amazing.
My friend Rhonda Garrison, who's the executive director of the Corn Growers Association, used to be the ag director here, says, I have ginger lilies planted in the ground that come back. She's around the Wilmington area, and they're slow to come back, don't bloom until late July, August, but bloom continuously until October. And some are planted in the sun, some are not, you know, more shady area. So they're a versatile plant, but I think they're happier. Are they happier in full sun or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, you think
so? I think that's been my experience.
Yeah, mine are.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mine are not in full shade, but they don't bloom as well as Rufus's do. Rufus's bloom much earlier than mine, for instance.
I think moisture is the key with those guys.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say full sun with enough water. Right. Without, they're going to flag and be unhappy. But, yeah, if you can give them plenty of water and plant them in sort of a low area that's got plenty of sun, they really take
it. What other colors are they? The orchid-like smelling one, the white with different petals, and then the...
You said you had some yellow.
Orange, yellowish other colors.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many species.
Of course, I showed you the one that I called the Hawaiian ginger lily, which you're going to take it away from me.
Kind of a blue.
There's about a dozen like true Hedychium species that will grow here, but we're kind of on the edge here in like you might be able to get away with a few of them up into Virginia and maybe into New Jersey, but we're kind of on the northern tip of where they really do well. After you go a little further north, Hedychium coronarium, the white one. That's probably the most cold tolerant I've seen in my experience. But here in and again, Juniper Level Botanic Garden, Tony probably offers the most.
I'm onto that.
Right now is a great time to go because his are just starting and they really start looking really good in September and October.
Rex, so you let me come there without having one of the open houses.
Yes, you can go, Tony, to Juniper
would you do
Level.
That?
You can go to Juniper Level Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. They're open for self-guided tours, and if you wanted to bring a group of people, they charge $10 for a guided tour with Doug Ruin or Tony.
Oh, great.
So open house is when you can just go and shop on site, and they've got a lot of people there. But they're open Monday through Friday, and they always want people walking through there to appreciate the gardens. Cause
what is it about a ginger lily that over the past 10 years moved a good 5 feet over?
They are, well, they have rhizomes. They have underground rhizomes. Yeah. And if you get enough water, they're going to go.
Or maybe you had a critter that was digging around in there and dropped a piece, carried it 5 feet and dropped it.
They've moved.
Lord only knows over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that place.
if there's, as I've often said, if there's a square foot with nothing in it, something's going in, even if it's taller than the thing behind it. And I've always said, okay, if that's bad, just look behind the tall thing and see the short thing.
And all the landscape architects out there.
I don't allow them out there.
You know,
I do not allow a landscape architect out there.
Landscape.
I wouldn't either.
Dang.
That really sounds invasive. Sounds dangerous to me, Rufus.
Yeah, a fine lady that works with Phil Campbell, I have employed in a nice fall day to come out and take an inventory of the stuff I have, because our place has been willed to preservation in North Carolina.
Yeah.
In the house and grounds. And I would like for somebody that takes it over someday to know what was there when, with the ancient pecan trees.
Yeah, you have some really old stuff out there.
Ancient crepe myrtles and things I planted 40 years ago.
Right.
Yes, back in ancient times.
Ancient times is right. But it's really funny to think that here's a tree that's 40 feet tall that you planted yourself 30 years ago, and you see that thing, when's the best time to plant a tree? Today. Mm-hmm. 20 years, and next best time, when was the best time? 20 years ago. Next best time's today.
Yeah.
And look around and say, okay, I planted that one 35 years ago.
Isn't that an old ancient Greek proverb?
Yes.
You know, plant trees that you may never, whose shade you may never sit under.
Correct.
Yeah. Good ginkgo.
Yeah.
Pretty trees.
I worked at the Polly Hill Arboretum on Martha's Vineyard in West Tisbury, and Miss Polly, she lived to be like, I think 98 or something like that. And I never met her. She passed before I was up there. But her property, she started gardening there well before the 60s. And unfortunately, she couldn't really start doing too terribly much because it was her mother's property. But it was an old sheep farm on the vineyard. And when her mother passed in the early 60s, she immediately took over and started planting things. But she was good friends with the curatorial staff at Harvard, at the Arnold Arboretum. Mm-hmm. And so she was constantly getting stuff from them. And then she was from Delaware. So whenever she would go back to Delaware, she'd go to the Delaware Valley in Pennsylvania and all those gardens, Longwood and Mount Cuba Center and all those places, and bring plants back up with her to the vineyard. And so, but she kept meticulous notes from the day her mom died almost to the day she died. She had these little address books. They were like 4 or 5 inches by 8 inches. And she wrote every single seed she sowed, every single plant that germinated from those seeds, where she got all of her plants, in these little notebooks. Mm-hmm. And just looking at that level of record keeping, but also just care and love for her garden, just always inspired me to really appreciate
a plant rat.
Plant.
You get pack rats and you get plant rats.
Plant rats.
We call them plant hoarders.
Yeah. Dan wants some information on you would be a good one to talk about the grass problem. What kind of calls are you getting on grass and fall vegetable gardening and insect problems?
Oh, dang,
this time of year, if you go into some of that.
Yeah, so for in terms of turf, you know, this is the time of year when if you are going to be putting in tall fescue, which is what we pretty much recommend for this region.
Right.
You should have put your seed down already. If you're thinking of putting turf in right now, you should have done it about a week or two ago. You might be able to fudge in the next week or two, but
you could put
really,
some sod down.
You could put some sod down, but mm-hmm. If you're just starting your site prep, you're already behind the eight ball. And turf files, there are some fertilizer you can put out, but this is the time of year to be liming and getting your soil samples in and getting your lime down and really kind of starting to put everything to bed in terms of your turf, especially if you've got warm season turfs. You should not be putting out a lot of fertilizer right now. Which you would not know that if you went up to some of our big box stores, unfortunately.
There is a lot. You really have to check the fertilizers because there's a lot of nitrogen in them.
Is.
And you don't want a lot of nitrogen. 16-4-8 is what the Extension Service has recommended as long as I can remember, that rate.
And it really depends on your soil report. Phosphorus, the P and the K, the potassium, those two nutrients do not really move through the soil profile very quickly. So if you put out phosphorus and potassium, a lot of times, unless you're losing the soil to erosion, it sticks around for a long time. So it's one of those things that if you can put it out, you can get a couple of years out of it. But nitrogen is the limiting factor in our fertility because nitrogen evaporates into the air. So if the plants don't use it or the microbiome doesn't take it in, it's back in the atmosphere. So that's why we are always telling people you kind of have to apply it multiple times a year, because unless it's getting taken up, it evaporates.
Yeah.
But so turf, definitely check turf files at NC State's website, and make sure you get your soil samples in. Soil sampling is free in North Carolina until November 30th, and extension offices across the state will have free boxes, free forms, and a lot of them will mail those samples to the state for you or drive them up. We take a load once a week, and don't have to... You do not have to pay for those, and you can put in as many as you want. I when I worked at the botanical garden, we put in almost 450 samples at a time, when we sampled all the beds. In terms of vegetable gardening, now is a great time to do some vegetable gardening. Can put all your cold crops in, like your kale, broccoli, cabbage, things like that.
Yeah, Rufus is not gonna not gonna go for that.
Just cook them like a collard. We've
gotten all kinds of recipes. Rufus is just not into it.
I'm not gonna fool with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. You've tried some. You've been open minded about this.
I am closed minded. Minded, and if anybody can come up with something that makes kale edible, let me know and I'll try it.
Okay.
But there are a lot of vegetables, a fair amount of vegetables you can plant in the fall.
Definitely. This is the time to be planting your fall crops of vegetables, because we're still warm enough to get them kind of going, but we're getting those cooler nights, those longer nights, and a lot of those cool season vegetables, they love this time of year. The only thing I tell folks is make sure that you have a frost plan, so have something you can drape a sheet or a piece of plastic over as we get further into October into November. That's when our frosts start coming, and unless we've had a consistently cool kind of period, those frosts can cause damage if you can't cover those vegetables up. And NC State, again, no offense to you, NC Chapel Hill, but NC State is the ag college. There are planting calendars. Recommended planting calendars that are divide each month in half and can tell you what you can plant at different times of year. So I tell folks to refer to those for some inspiration. And I know Campbell Road and a lot of our local nurseries are offering 4-pack plants. I was at Big Bloomers just last week ordering some plant or getting some plants for some classes I was teaching.
Right. And farmers markets, you can quite often find things. Plants for vegetable garden plants.
Yeah, I saw them yesterday.
Yeah.
Cabbages, they're looking good,
all
man.
Kinds of things.
Yeah. Sunny site,
but I would say at least 6 hours of sun a day.
Yeah.
No more than 10. Sometimes the sun can be too much, especially on our hotter days.
Mm-hmm.
And
we do have
I've got some containers I was growing tomatoes in. They're all spent now, so I don't see anything wrong with sticking my lettuce and other stuff right in those pots.
Not at all. Just put some fertilizer in there, just a little bit of charge of fertilizer, because tomatoes are heavy feeders. So just a little bit of fertilizer, and you can get them going again.
And are there insect problems that the army worms?
Yeah.
We've heard so much about the army worms just destroying grasses, different types of turf around, and they were supposedly brought in by Debbie, tropical storm. But I know that's a problem.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the second generation really be causing any issues. I haven't. My army worm phone calls have stopped, thank goodness.
Okay, well, that's good.
But this time of year there are a lot of migratory butterflies that are starting to proliferate. Just yesterday I counted 6 monarch butterflies in our pollinator garden. So the monarchs are starting to give us that last cohort of insect or of pupa before they fly south. So this is a really important time for our native pollinators to gather pollen and nectar to kind of prepare for the winter time. So that Biden's Aristotle, the little daisy on the side of the road, is really important for a lot of our insects to make it through the winter. I've not been hearing a lot of issues, but as we start getting closer and you put more and more vegetables out, especially, you could potentially get some cabbage loopers and a last season.
Was there a way to prevent those?
Cover them with a net. Okay. Just some insect netting will save you a lot of trouble, and you won't have to put out any chemical pesticides. I know people swear by seven dust, but seven, the active ingredient in a lot of the seven products can be very, very harmful to non-target organisms.
I agree with that totally. I used to say on this program 5 years ago, lay the seven to them. I've quit it because I don't want to kill that butterfly.
Yeah, well,
or the bees.
Bees. And some people they see worms. So I did a little post on our Facebook page yesterday about the variegated fritillary. We have tons of variegated fritillaries, which is a type of butterfly in our garden because we have a big maypop, Passiflora incarnata patch. But if you Google, if you look on NC State's website about the variegated fritillary, they call it a pansy worm. Because one of the other, it is a pest of pansy bedding plants. Mm. And so the profile on NC State's website is about how it is a pest of bedding plants.
Oh, my.
So, you know, it's all about a matter of perspective when it comes to some of these insects. And so I always try and tell folks, if you like butterflies, you're going to have to tolerate some caterpillars or some worms, quote unquote worms. And so it's
like butterflies. We just have to.
Well, and
hummingbirds.
It's a cost benefit analysis. You know, what is it worth it to you? So a little bit of insect netting just to keep that around will save you a bunch of time and money and heartache.
Okay.
I see these posts every once in a while.
Got about 20 seconds.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. If your garden isn't being eaten up by anything, then it's not feeding the ecosystem. You know, I see these posts on Facebook. A little bit of insect damage, if you can tolerate it, will support a lot of beneficials.
Right. That's true. All right. More of the weekend. We got a half hour left because of the football game.
Amazing.
Pre-game coming up at 10 o'clock here on WPTF. We're back on WPTF at 9:34. You know, all of the... You could have a lot of problems with your car if you really tried, but you know, even if you don't try, because they're so complicated. Have you read the owner's manual, for instance? I mean, it gets thicker and thicker, and it's a lot of them are online now. You should go to people who understand the workings of a vehicle, and they are King's Auto Service in Raleigh. Get a fall checkup. Make sure that everything is, you know, the brakes, tires, it's a good place to start. But there are a lot of other things they can check. Make sure you've had your oil change. That's something I know that Dean Bailey, who owns King's, has always talked about, is get your oil change at the right time. Don't skip or skimp. Excuse me. So go to King's Auto Service. They have, if you have a hybrid vehicle, they have certified hybrid technicians there. Anything Japanese American vehicle they can handle. So call King's on Monday. Schedule a courtesy battery analysis. Whether you want to look at that hybrid battery, which can be very expensive to replace, and by the way, they can save you some money on that. And or just a 12-volt battery in your car. They don't last as long as they used to, I've noticed. So get those checked out. That's a good place to start, too. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh and at kingautomotive.net. King Automotive Service, they are located in Raleigh, obviously, since 1946. All right, let's go to Rose Rhodes. Good morning to you, Rose. How's everything in Princeton?
Well, it's almost perfect.
Almost perfect.
Almost.
How about that? Well, it's not perfect, huh?
Not quite perfect.
What would make it perfect?
Well, there is not a perfect world.
Well, that's true.
But I try to think it is.
Yeah. So, you know, we got to get down there. We got to make plans to get down to visit you because you have a air layered. All was it?
Slam dunk.
That's not slam dunk.
Slam, what? Oh my.
No, not that. It's
it's not all American. It's a camellia.
Rufus, I can't say the name today.
Well, I'm not there either, but I know. But I want to know. You said last week that it had one bloom on it. That is amazing to me.
Well, let me tell you what, I made a great mistake.
Uh-oh.
There were two bloom buds, and I was going to push one of them off, and I pushed both of them off.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Maybe we'll be able to see it bloom again.
Grand Slam.
Mm.
That's right. That is a type of camellia. Red.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we need to do that soon. So we'll.
So you've got camellias.
Everybody's busy.
She got camellias flowering right now.
Rose.
Oh, no, it's not flowering. It's just one I rooted. I air layered for Rufus.
Gotcha. I was getting ready to say we've got two big Sasanqua bushes, camellia Sasanquas, at the extension office, and they are just loaded with buds. Mm. I'm just waiting
Mine are already blooming. I checked them out this morning, just blooming like crazy already. Yes.
Are you familiar with the Yuletide Sasanqua?
Oh, yes,
my
ma'am.
Gosh, yes.
That is just wonderful. It's
I like that state red there.
Yep. I love that single flower.
There's another one, too, Rose, called Apple Blossom that I love so much.
That's a pretty one.
Yeah, I've had that, too, somewhere.
Yeah, Miss Rhodes, Bobby Green down in Mobile, Alabama, or Fairhope, Alabama. I'm sorry, Bobby, don't give me a hard time about that. Fairhope, Alabama took Yuletide and made one for Alabama.
Is it a darker color? So is it more of a maroon?
It is, actually, and it's even it is an improvement on Yuletide, if you can believe it.
Oh, that's hard to do.
And as soon as I said it, it's crimson. Crimson Tide is what he called it.
Oh, very good.
But it almost called it Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Should have called it Wolfpack Red. Sorry.
Well, they don't bloom at Christmas anymore.
No, they don't.
They bloom. Rufus has had them blooming in September.
Absolutely.
Before.
I'm going to watch it, look at it this afternoon.
Very strange. Mm-hmm. Very strange.
So we've got one called Our Linda.
It's kind of a pink.
A pink that is named, I like to say, after my wife. That's a beautiful thing, of course.
Yeah.
There you go. Good man. This is something interesting. I saw we had the two Sasanquas, and Miss Rose, I hope you're listening.
I am.
The two Sasanquas that we've got at the office, this is my third year being there now. This is the first year I have seen this many fruit on both of them. Mm. And one of them is Yume, so it's one of the hybrids between Camellia Sasanqua and Camellia olearifera. But with the oil seed camellia, but both of them have a ton of fruit on them, and they have not had that in the past. Have you seen that with your camellias? Have you ever grown camellias from seed?
Yes, I do. I do that a lot, and I have that one that's Camellia sinensis, and that has a lot of seed this year.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, the tea making plant.
That's
there's a big, there are, I guess, hundreds of acres down in near Charleston where they make tea.
The Charleston Tea Company.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody ever wants to go see some tea, that's a great tour, by the way. You can make yourself sick with some tea.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, it's an interesting, the bloom is not that pretty, but it doesn't really jump out at you, but it does bloom if they're happy. So.
Yep. Well, I just wanted to tell you, if Dr. Rawson was living, he'd call my garden or my landscape horticultural madness.
Wow. That's saying something.
I don't know what he'd call mine. He said, oh, my gosh.
Well, I agree with you on that. He never saw mine. I wouldn't let him.
I learned a lot of Latin names for plants. I started going to all of his lectures, on tours at least, and it was like Latin to me, and it was Latin.
Yeah, there was a lot of Latin, I'm sure.
Until I knew what he was talking about.
Right. Well, he was a great teacher.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, Miss Rose, thank you so much. Please call often.
Okay, thanks for having me with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, the head of the CIA, J.C. Knowles, is with us.
Oh, great.
Hey, J.C.
Hey, y'all.
What's going on?
Well, just coasting along, doing the best I can.
Well, that's all any of us can do, JC.
Yeah. I had a friend the other day that asked me what a pawpaw tree was. I told him I never heard of one.
It's native. Goodness. It's native to all 50 states, JC. And I'll tell you, I've never made anything out of them, but it's a fruit that everybody ought to try. I think it kind of smells like a banana, sort of, or I don't know. There's some other things. Y'all like pawpaws?
Oh, love it. And you just had a nice article on pawpaws in the Weekend Gardener magazine.
I just am fascinated. Johnny Coley, extension agent in Person and Granville County, has a patch of pawpaws that he's overseeing. And he gave me some last year. Haven't been up there this year, but they they're kind of a finicky fruit in a way, but there's another native. Yep. Dan. Mm-hmm.
They say that's the largest fruit produced by a native North American species. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're spectacular.
I just love them, JC. If I ever get any more, I'll make sure that you are able to try it. Once in a great while at the farmer's market, they'll have some. But you have to kind of pick them and use them pretty quickly.
Right. Yeah, they don't last long. Yeah.
Have you ever heard that little ditty down in the pawpaw patch, JC? It's a little...
No, I've never heard of a pawpaw.
Yeah.
Tree.
Well, you're going to get one because Michael see to it, and I'll bring it to you at the good old boys.
Yeah,
well they're really starting to come.
Good old boys Tuesday. And Rufus, I got an article. I got a 50 or 60 old 1940s The State magazine, which was editor was Carl Gertz.
Right, who was an announcer here for many years.
I used to listen to him Sunday night on WPT.
Yeah, and he started the magazine in the 1930s.
Yeah, 1933.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And I found an article in one of them. I believe it was Winston-Salem. They had a chitlin club affair.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was called a chitlin eaters.
Well, I'm sure it was good, but nothing would compare with the Wake County Chitlin Club.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we need to investigate that.
Yeah.
Maybe some kind of underground society.
Well, I made a copy of it, and I'm going to bring it to you Tuesday at Good Old Boys.
Okay, good. Good. We've got an exciting time coming up in this next Chitlin Club. I think we have some people that we'll go on trial before the High Tribunal, with you being the chair of the CIA, the Chitlin Investigative Agency.
So you'll have to make a ruling, JC.
Oh, my goodness.
And it has nothing to do with me and a tuxedo, which we don't allow.
Yeah, it was, I think that I'm pretty sure the date was 1948
goodness.
The article was written.
Well, that was around the time that Governor Carr Scott started our Chitlin Club. So, it must have been a wave across North Carolina for chitlins. It was hungry times.
I've got two or three that's interested in joining, and I told them they had to send in an application to you if they wanted to get in.
Oh, dear.
It's tough.
You mean to the great one?
Yes.
Yes. So you send them in, JC, and we'll have the High Tribunal check them out.
Oh, all right.
Oh, sounds goodness. Good. And JC, if you want some pawpaws, you got to be on the lookout in August and in early September. It's too late for them now, but on the lookout.
Yeah, they usually fruit. That's a summer fruit, late summer fruit. So.
Uh-huh.
But they're good. You can make things like a pudding and some other things, and you kind of cut them diagonally, and you can just get a spoon and scoop them out, and it really tastes good. Banana,
mango,
is another.
Custard apple is the other common
custard,
name for them, because they do have the consistency of like a firm custard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you. Like, got the size and the shape of a mango with like a thin skin like a mango. But it does smells a lot like banana.
Yeah. It's good.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll be sure to look out for them then.
All right, JC.
And I noticed you have to leave at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, we got to leave at 10.
Yeah, so I'll leave a joke for another day.
Well, no, go ahead, JC.
Oh, okay. This young fellow was grocery shopping, and there was an elderly lady following him. Every aisle he went down, when he would stop, she would stop and just stare at him. And both of them were grocery shopping, but she just couldn't take her eyes off of him. Finally, she said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I know I'm wrong, but you look just like my son, and he died 2 weeks ago. Your resemblance is remarkable to him, and I'm sorry, I just can't help it." She kept staring at him. When they got to the checkout counter, she got in front of him, and she apologized again and said, "You just look so much like my son, and I'm sorry." He said, "Ma'am, I understand. Don't you worry about it." She said, "Well, look, would you do me a real favor? When I check out and I get close to the door going out, would you holler to me and say, 'I love you, Mom. I'll see you this weekend'?" That's what my son would always do. And he said, "Yeah, I'll do it." So she checked out, and by the time she got to the door, he yelled out, "Goodbye, Mom. I love you. I'll see you this weekend." And then the clerk started checking out the man's groceries. She said, "Your bill is $93. He said, "What, $93? I didn't buy but three items." Said, "Yeah, I know, but your mother that you called a while ago, she said you would pay for hers."
Oh, man.
Got a little scam flavor in there today, JC.
Yeah,
the moral for that story is, don't fool around with little old ladies.
That's right. They'll get you every time.
They don't have nothing else to do in life but play tricks on people.
Sounds like you've had experience, JC.
Yeah.
You take care, my friend.
Okay, y'all have a good one.
See you Tuesday.
We love you too.
Bye.
Set out to the farmer's market, Billy Howe. Billy, how's everything there today? It's really a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. We have a lot of vendors here, and I have a few customers as well.
I bet so. What you have apples? That's the first thing I think of. You're getting more and more, right?
We're getting more and more apples, and we have muscadine grapes. You know, it's September, so those will be coming to an end here shortly, but we got plenty right now.
Well, Billy, I want to interject here just a moment. I went there yesterday, and to my surprise, greatly good, there are peaches left at my favorite place, the one from Taylorsville, Alexander County, and she said this would be the last batch, and so I'm telling people if they want peaches, go today, because that's it for peaches for the season.
I wasn't even going to ask about peaches. You really still have some?
Just a few.
Oh,
just
great.
Probably the last few of those.
Mm-hmm. The last few out of the cooler.
Yeah. So what about vegetable-wise? What do you still have?
We have squash and cucumbers and okra, some greens, lots and lots of different varieties of peppers.
How about some kale? Got any kale out there?
I think they only sell that just to you, Richard.
I know. Waiting for you to buy them out.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're starting to get into some of the cool seasoned vegetables.
Mm-hmm. I seen some patty pan squash this morning. That's the first ones of those I saw.
Butter beans and peas, are they gone?
Not completely. They're down to the last. So,
okay, yeah.
Like a lot of varieties we don't have now.
Sure. What about plants?
Plants have came back in as far as our a lot of our outdoor plants.
Yeah.
The building there on the end with plants is full. Half of it is plants, half of it is pumpkins and mums.
I was going to ask you about the pumpkins and mums. It's really pretty out there, and you know, take advantage of them. There are all kinds of varieties of pumpkins and lots of different colors and textures and shapes.
And it seems like every year you go out, I'll go down there and walk around, and I go, hang on, I ain't never seen one like that.
Right. I know. I've seen some that are multicolored, and my grandson's had a good time picking out some there in different size and shapes. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun for old or young. What about up in the market shops?
Our market shops is got all the good smells in there, bakery with the coffees and the peach pies, apples, jacks, and all the good stuff.
Yeah, of course, and 321 coffee and and the market grill with the Rufus dog.
That comes with kale, right?
Yeah. You can add. That's something you ought to add to it. Just try a hot dog and kale. Right?
Oh, there you go.
Saith you not.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Bratcher enjoyed his Rufus dog a couple weeks ago.
See?
Oh, well,
yeah,
great.
He had his with kale.
Oh,
gosh. Sure.
Oh, kale.
No, kale.
So yeah, you got all of that, and but they have good breakfast, and they have a lot of other things you can choose if you, because they cheeseburgers, you can have a cheeseburger out there.
Hey, man, cheeseburgers for breakfast—that's where it's at.
Uh huh. Mm. Well, you know, they're diverse too. So yeah, the 321 coffee and you know, the fragrance, it's lovely inside of the market shops. And you got, if you don't enjoy all of that, go to the farmer's market restaurant.
Yeah. Biscuits, size of, I don't know.
Cathead biscuits is what they call them. And seafood restaurant opens up at 11 o'clock. The regular restaurant, regular farmer's market restaurant, I guess. What time do they open up now?
5:30.
Okay. Wow. And close around 3?
3 o'clock.
Yeah. So they're open a long time for breakfast and lunch. But you can have breakfast all day there, and then the seafood restaurant 11 o'clock until, what, 7 or 8?
7.
Yeah.
6 during the week and then 7 on the weekend.
Fantastic. And Supersod, I'm sure, is really busy right now, too.
They are. I was talking to Justin down there, the store manager here, and we were talking about the truck. How many trucks come in and out of there a day?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I didn't know there's that many people who need grass and sod in Wake County. And he was like, well, they go all over everywhere.
Yeah. And I got to do a shout out for the North Carolina Pollinator Conservation Alliance. They're going to be out there for their Pollinator Field Day at the State Farmers Market next Friday, September 27th. To educate the public about pollinators in Wake County and
Wonderful.
Central North Carolina. And they're going to have tours of the wildflowers out there at the farmer's market.
Good.
And you said that's Friday?
That's Friday, the September 27th.
And then you come the next day and pick up some of those pollinator-friendly plants at the Botanical Garden.
Hey, man, look at that.
Way to work it in, man.
Weekend.
You got it.
We can have a three-day event, because if you come out here on Thursday, we're having our harvest festival. And that's going to be over in the old Market Imports building that Logan's going to be going into.
Right, so and that's next year. When is the start date for that, the opening date? Are they opening in the spring or of 25 or what?
Right now, the only thing I'm hearing is 2025.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, a lot of work to do, I'm sure, to get all that running.
Yeah.
Well, Billy, anything else?
So, like I said, we're having a harvest festival.
Yep.
And probably have free samples, maybe a cooking demonstration.
All right.
Over there, that will be 11 to 2 on Thursday. And then the pollinator field, that's back behind Supersod. So if you look over the fence down there, you can see some flowers and weeds and all the good stuff that bees like.
All right.
And then today we also have a lot of vendor set up in our grass area today. Since the farmer's building is full.
Wow.
A lot of our craft vendors have moved out into the little selling stations in the grass and in between market shops and North Carolina seafood.
It's always like a festival out there.
It is.
It's a busy day.
Yeah. Well, Billy, we're running out of time, buddy, but I sure do always enjoy talking to you.
All right. Y'all come see us.
We shall. All right, Billy. We shall. Thank you so much.
Take care.
It's Billy Howell out at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. Dan, one more time, Botanical Gardens next week.
Yeah, Mike, we're doing our fall plant sale next Saturday, September 28th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come out. We've got a great selection of southeastern native plants, flowering perennials, trees, shrubs, ferns, and we'll have a lot of folks on hand to help folks pick out stuff that'll work for them. We got a couple other events I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
This is our Sculpture in the Garden show. This is an annual event for us. We've got over 80 pieces of sculpture scattered throughout the botanical garden. Now, we're located in Chapel Hill at 100 Old Mason Farm Road. And that sculpture show is really incredible. Bring art into the garden, and it'll be up through December 8th. And then in a little bit less than a month, we've got a fun fall activity called Nature Fest. That's October 19th from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. A lot of fall-themed activities for kids. It's a free event, and we'll have a great time out there.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see if we can take Steve real quick. Steve, we only have about a minute.
Yeah, I don't need long. I'm just letting you guys know I'm still alive.
We're glad of that.
We survived our grandchildren. That's
yeah. Oh, I know about that.
Well, 10 days with them is a stretch.
So are you doing anything in the garden today?
Well, yeah, I got to mow.
Yeah.
It's been so wet that I haven't been able to mow.
It has. Much. Everything's happy that likes water.
Yeah. I did some weeding this week. Somebody asked me what they could be doing with the daylilies, and one of the things you could do is get the old scapes out. And while you're getting the scapes out, look for proliferation. And if you find a proliferation, you can plant it. So that's you can get a bonus plant. And my spider lilies are absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, we have a magnificent one in here. And we're out of time, Steve.
All right. Y'all have a good week.
Thank you.
You bye-bye. Too. Take care.
Thank you for bringing that spider lily, Amanda. And our best to everybody in Sanford and Lee County. And Dan, thank you. God love the botanical gardens. That's a beautiful place. Brother Rufus.
Amen to that. We'll
be the person your dog thinks you are.
Jason, thank you very much. We'll see you next week.